is the Mornington Peninsula. We are Bayside Adventures, and what a cracking night. I'm joined by Dean and Gwayne tonight.
How are you, Chuck?
How you going, Charlie?
Good, good, good. Mate, the weather, as we said, is turning the corner.
Turning the corner, yeah.
Pretty much, hasn't had it yet, but to kick off with, I've just got a bit of information about if anyone sees a drone. this drone that was seen in Mount Waverley, wasn't it? Mount Waverley last summer, basically headed towards Malta.
Yeah, somewhere there.
Gwayne, what do you think? I mean, it's pretty good.
He's gone AWOL, that's for sure.
Yeah, so we've lost a drone. So
I have become a good driver, though. Three drones later, and I'm
best way to learn,
right.
Mate.
Yeah.
It's the best way to learn. But wow. they are an amazing thing, aren't they? I mean, pretty much these days, if you've got a TV show, you've got to have a drone.
Chuck, can I tell you, I have had some of the funniest moments of my life over the last week trying to get these things to work, and I'm not going to go right into it because I could spend the whole hour talking about it.
Did you get photos, mate? That's, you know, it's very important to get photos.
Oh, I didn't. I wish I got a photo of that last one where it just took off, mate. And it's got to be in orbit around the moon at the moment. Seriously, it took off at 1,000 miles an hour. And
I'm sure that now you've got the knack, so to speak.
Yeah, I have, mate.
We'll let you know exactly how we go. Now, Gwayne, what have you been up to?
Just working mainly, but yeah, still fishing, plenty of fishing. Mainly just fishing Port Phillip South on the Whiting.
Amazing stuff, eh?
Yeah, and some good snapper around too. Got an 8.2 kilo snapper about 3 weeks ago. So
yeah, you brained it. That was the day after. Was it the day after? Or a couple of days after we got back from the Kings, or that following week or something?
Following weekend. Yeah,
it's a good time to be fishing, isn't it? This time here.
And there's some quality fish around too. The Whiting aren't small. They're averaging 35 up to 41, 42 centimetres, so they're good fish.
What's the go with the Whiting, you reckon? I've never seen him so thick, Wayne.
Well, because they ban the netting.
Get out of it. You had to say that, didn't you?
it just happened this year that they came into Port Phillip more than Western Port.
Bit of a spawn?
Yeah, maybe. I just think the migration path was slightly different this year. But
I'm saying next year?
It's everywhere, though. You know, they're not just getting them at the Sisters, they're getting them down at Point Nepean, through the moorings out at Portsea, Mud Island, the Pinace. Got mates are getting them at Queenscliff, Submarine up at St. Leonard's. So it's just the whole bottom end of Port Phillip Bay. We drove out through Mount Martha Cove, and there was a school of about 40 of them in the channel as you're driving out through the cove. So
Whiting?
Yeah.
My God.
They're everywhere.
Well, that's good. Now, they're telling us, the scientists, this is, that next year it won't be nowhere near as good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, you just have to wait and see. I believe in the good old fashioned, as we talked before about this, where the commercial guys used to tell us if it's, you know, the wind's blowing from northwest or southwest, rather, the larvae comes into the bay and then it has time to do its business. What's your thoughts on that?
Those fish aren't a year old. They're 3 to 4 years, 5 years old. So, you know, as long as they do the same migration path, we'll get those fish going back. I don't know how long they live, but you know, if we're getting 80 fish, I reckon you'd probably find that for every fish you get, 6 to 12 swim past your bait too. So there's a lot of fish out there.
Yeah.
And they're all size, mate. They're all sort
good
of
fish.
40 plus.
You don't have fat to fish. Measure any of them. They're perfect
fat
size.
Fish.
Yeah.
They really are good, healthy
fish.
Yeah,
they're good. It's a good time to be out there and... I was sort of thinking about going away over the weekend to have a crack at the tuna, but I'm sort of more enticed to stay, and that's what we're going to do on the weekend. We're going to go and have a crack at the Whiting on Saturday, and I'm going to go and have a crack at the gummies on Sunday, so I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's still early for the tuna, so you've got plenty of time to get yourself a bigger fish.
Yep.
Now, talking about snapper, obviously we look forward into now looking forward to into the winter time where we go out in the ocean, as you know.
Yeah.
You don't get like a lot of snapper out there, but you get some good fish, Gwayne.
Yeah. It's probably probably a good month away still, I'd say, because that water temperature is still hovering around 18 degrees, so they'll stay in the bay. But once that temperature gets sort of 16 and a half, they'll start heading out, and you'll get those great bites of fish out off Ocean Grove. you know, it's fairly solid water with fishing in out there, you know, up to 50 metres. You've got to have a good anchoring system. But, yeah, phenomenal catches. You can have days where you can get, you know, 20, 30 fish over 8 kilos. So.
You mentioned having a good anchor system. I think most boats these days are set up quite well. It's all about the chain, isn't it?
Yeah, getting the right anchor size right and then the amount of chain.
Yeah. Mm.
And obviously being able to hold a drum winch, preferably to hold enough rope to be able to actually anchor in that depth of water.
One of the things about I've noticed about European boats, for example, the Genoa when it first came out, or didn't come out with it, but they said that you could have the other sole. What's you got your drum? What's the other? Yeah, that's it. And I just said no way. It's just not for our type of fishing.
No.
So it's so important to get your anchor right, isn't it?
Yeah, you bet.
You need the drum winch, and you need a fast and definitely a strong winch in that sort of depth of water too.
Mm. Well, I've actually got one of Malky's new ones in now.
Yeah, they're great, aren't they?
Oh my god, you can't even hear it work.
Yeah, it's amazing. Quick, very strong.
Yeah.
What are they, mate?
It's a new drum winch that Malky makes, Lone Star Marine. He updated my one for me, and it's so quiet, and it drops really quick as well.
I think he did the same thing with Cruz. Done the same thing too.
Yeah, it's amazing, mate. It's such a good anchor.
You know, technology, it makes it so much easier these days to go out fishing. Not just that, your boat, your trailer, your sounder, knowing your sounder, how to set your sounder up and all that. Have you been out, mate?
No, I haven't. I'm going out on the weekend, on Saturday and Sunday. I want to have a crack. Going to have a go with it. I got a radar on the boat now, so give the radar a crack and see how we go.
You'll love it. Yeah, nothing better. Forward to it. I mean, get out in the morning and you still obviously look where you're going.
Yep.
But just
see if I've still got a drone by the end of it.
Yeah, you might see something come flying in.
I was going to say, I hope you drive it better than in your drone.
That's exciting.
I don't want to be seeing you on your knees hitting a boat. You know, so.
I mean, it's really handy to be able to actually go out and set it to a certain distance. You can actually see if there's people in the area you desire to head to. There might be too many boats and you move away from it.
Yep.
Once you learn how to use them, you can actually set them and see the birds hitting the water and actually chasing tuna, and that's what a lot of the game boats do.
Well, do you change your settings all the time, Grain, or what do you leave it on?
Yeah, look, most of the time I've never had to really turn it up too much, but you can get days like today when there's a lot of rain and stuff like that, you will actually have to turn it down to get your harder objects, just like a sounder.
So if you're fishing just in Southern Port Phillip Bay, so you know your Rye Sorrento Pier, and then you go out past Mud Island or whatever, I have it on 1.5 Ks.
Yeah,
I find that just nice to see the big ships coming through the channel. And also, if there's any idiots sitting there with no lights on,
and that's the biggest, I guess for me, the big deal is I do a lot of night fishing nowadays because I find it's the most peaceful.
Yeah.
And morning. Yeah. And you're right, mate. There's a genuine concern about is there someone out there who hasn't got their lights on, you know?
Western
Port, for instance, it's only every second pole that has a light on it.
So. That was my next comment, you know? Like, Western Port, God, I don't know how many times I know it quite well now, but, you know, how many times you look at it and go,
you still can make a mistake, though, can't you? I mean, you look in November, you know, fishing for snap, for example, we know that the Altona, the Carramere area, you know, basically I can leave from Rye.
Yep.
And go across to the channel there at Carrum. It's only 32 Ks.
Yeah.
But there's no way known I'd be doing if I didn't have the radar.
Yeah, yeah.
No way, you know. There'd be just too many people out there sitting with their boats with no lights on, as
crazy,
we said.
Crazy, man.
You know?
Well, even the way, navigation has changed nowadays, there's so much lights on the shore when you're coming into places like Carrum that one mast headlight, and if it's a little bit dull, you can't tell how far away that boat is.
Yeah, you bet.
I tell you what actually annoyed me is my compass. They put the compass right in the middle of the screen.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't sound like much, but like you say, you know, if just a little bit of light reflecting off the glass can put you off.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go back to the drone and say the compass was stuck and heading south.
But no, I got to relocate it anyway because for the charter, as you know, you got to have a special compass and get it done. And
fully calibrated.
Yeah, you got to wear red underpants and all that sort of stuff, you know, it's really great. But quite interesting. All right, mate. Now, let me tell you something. Right, we've got Ange on the phone.
Yeah.
Now, where are you from again, buddy?
Ange.
You there?
How are you guys?
Yeah, where are you from again?
Taylor's Hill, Maine, Victoria.
Okay, listen, can you do us a favour? There should be a drone flying over your house very
just
soon.
Just about now, man.
I reckon Dean has got three of them actually now, I reckon. So it's pretty good going, isn't he?
Look, as long as you haven't exceeded your height limit, mate, it's all right.
Yeah, no, we're not talking.
Have you been listening to the show, Ange, and what's happened to me?
Mate, I've been trying to listen, and I cannot get anything on my iPad. I can't understand why.
Okay.
Just go on your computer then, idiot.
Well, then...
thanks very much. I've been trying very hard.
Then you didn't miss much, mate.
No,
Charlie just giving me a serve and Gwayne. Gwayne even hooked in.
Gwayne knows all about it. Dean, he's had a bit of a mishap with a drone.
What happened with Dean? Tell me.
It's all right. We'll talk about it later.
I need an hour.
Let's quickly go because we're running out of time. We've got an important issue tonight to talk about. Now, not from you, but someone else, but still, you're still important, mate. Hunting first. What's been going on?
Mate, it's all happening, mate. This time of the year would have to be one of the biggest time of the years, for hunting. It's quail season, it's duck season, and guess what? Everyone's getting stuck in the deer and pigs at the same time. So it's huge. This time of the year is absolutely phenomenal.
Wow. So what are you doing? What are you sort of chasing mainly, mate?
Look, I've got a really good friend of mine that I actually haven't hunted that much for the birds as much as others would like to, but I've got a good friend of mine, Jason Salado, who's been doing some quail shooting because it is quail season now and duck season.
Yeah.
And they've been doing really well. The quails have been really, really good around the Anarchy area near Geelong.
Yeah.
And the ducks, mate, the guys have been doing really well on the ducks. And, you know, the bag limits are only small. They're only four birds per person per day.
Plus a drone.
I beg your pardon? Plus a drone.
Plus a drone.
Look, the guys have been doing really well. The Little Murray area near Swan Hill has been doing really well on the duck. As I said, Aniki has been doing really well on the quail. I've been doing extremely well on the deer over in the Central Highlands of Victoria.
Yeah.
And only a couple of weeks ago, I was over in the area of Ivanhoe and chasing pigs. And I've got 17 pigs in 10 hours, guys. That just tells you that we have a major problem with feral pigs because the farmer sat down with me the morning after that we hunted and actually explained to me that he was potentially going to lose around about $100,000 to the lambs that were going to be lost to wild pigs, feral pigs.
Yeah, a lot of people wouldn't think what damage pigs would do and stuff like that. I know they root up the paddocks and all that sort of stuff, but actually to take out young lambs, that's not good at all.
Yeah, well, I think Charlie was with me at one trip that we were at that we had another farmer telling us that he lost around $120,000 worth of crop to a pig. But, these guys are telling me they're going to lose potentially $100,000 worth of lambs to a wild pig. And I did go up to the Ivanhoe area, and I tell you, I got 17 pigs, guys, in a matter of no time, and it was just ridiculous to see what's going on. We really need to get together as hunters and, you know what, conservationists. Let's call ourselves conservationists because we're looking after the land.
Mm.
And I tell you now, it's just dramatic. It's absolutely phenomenal what's going on.
So is there like, what, a plague or something up there, or what's going on?
Look, at the moment, there's certain areas that are in plague, and there's certain areas that were in plague that don't have any pigs. For instance, I've been hunting in the Bourke area my whole life, and at the moment, Bourke does not have a lot of pigs.
Okay.
Because of the water situation, they don't have much water, but, come down south, where there has been a lot of water, there's a lot of pigs. When I tell you a lot of pigs, guys, it's just phenomenal the amount of pigs that you will see and encounter while you're out there. So it's actually a little bit it's quite dramatic. It's pretty scary for the farmers.
Mm.
So when you say Ivanhoe, are you talking about like here, Ivanhoe?
No, mate, not Eaglemont, mate. Eaglemont, Ivanhoe. Come on, Charlie.
Well, I don't know.
Come on.
I just wanted to get it clear, that's all, because it sounded like Heidelberg.
Ivanhoe is, north of Balvanald and you know, a little bit west of Oxley and whatever. Okay. But that's where I went, and I'll tell you now, there is a lot of devastation going on, guys. So, all I can recommend is the guys should be doing the right thing. Go knock on someone's door and say, mate, can I come and get rid of some pigs for you? Because everyone will say, come on board, mate, come and get rid of the pigs for me, because they're doing an enormous amount of damage.
So wow. What's the sort of the shortest driving period to get to these pigs?
For myself,
yeah.
I can get within an hour from home
wow.
and find wild pigs. People actually don't realise that in Victoria we have a huge population of wild pigs, and we do have a huge population of deer, and they don't actually realise how close it is to Melbourne. Mm. We're so close to it, it's phenomenal. It's crazy to think about it.
Crazy.
And they're actually in plague proportion at the moment.
Okay. Unbelievable. Well, there you
go. We'll have to get the drone up there and have a look. Now,
yeah, we'll have to.
My
one will be just about crossing there.
From hunting to fishing, my friend, what's been happening in Altona, Williamstown, those sort of areas?
Okay, mate. I know pinkies are going absolutely off their head, and there have been some exclusive catches of whiting. So
exclusive?
Exclusive catches of whiting. Like, when I tell you exclusive, really big fish, mate. Really good fish. Fish yeah. after 40, 43, 44 centimetres.
Well, we basically got bucket loads here.
Well, I'm glad you have, but I don't have to travel all the way where you are, mate. I've only got to go 20 minutes down the road, and I've got them at my doorstep.
Nah, you just put your boat in an Altona and come across in your little Haines Hunter there, and you'll be here in 20 minutes.
Oh, my little Haines Hunter now, is it?
It is a little boat.
Amazing how the tide turns, eh, Ange? Amazing
it's
how the tide
amazing,
turns.
Hey, he gets into a big boat and all of a sudden I'm in my little
And they're all tinnies.
Just telling you how it is, buddy. Just telling you how it is. All right, so we got a long weekend coming up. First hunting, where should people go?
Look, long weekend, guys, get up to the Anarchy area. If anyone's got property up there, get up there. There's plenty of quail. There is a lot of quail at the moment. If you're going to go duck shooting, go around the Little Murray area near Swan Hill. There's plenty of ducks, plenty of birds there. You know what? Adhere to the rules, guys. That's all I'm saying. Adhere to the rules.
Yeah.
Because when people start doing the wrong thing and makes us look stupid, do the right thing. And you know what? Can I mention names?
Yeah, of course.
Laurie Levy, all those people who give me the absolute anyway.
Yep.
They've got nothing against us if we're doing the right thing. So go out there, guys, do the right thing, get your bag limit, and come home and enjoy your day.
Fantastic.
All right, that sounds good. Now, quickly, fishing for a fish on the weekend?
For a fish, I'd be going straight to Black Rock.
Pinkies?
Yeah, but fish up to 2 kilos as well.
Oh, nice. Very good.
There have been fish up to 2 kilos. But can I tell you a really, really quick thing for my mother-in-law?
Yeah.
My mother-in-law's in hospital. She's just had major surgery, and I wish her a very, very speedy recovery.
Yeah, we wish her all the best.
What's her name?
Lena.
Lena, all the best to you from guys at Bayside Adventures, Lena.
All the best, Lena. Now, what's the special thing that's happening for me and you next week, mate?
Don't ask for cakes, mate, again.
Oh. No, what's the special? No, what's happening for us next week? It's next week, isn't it?
Next week, we've got Easter, mate.
That's it, mate. It's Easter for us.
Easter, mate. We've got lambs on the stick.
Yeah.
We've got the whole bit going, mate.
Beauty, bring it on.
Do you go and catch your own lamb and all that for the you know?
No, mate, I buy it. My local butcher, Lee, he looked after me. He'll get me a nice lamb, and I've just got to cook it on the spit.
Fantastic.
What are the things that you guys do?
Crack eggs. We crack eggs.
Yeah. Painted ears. Eggs?
Yeah, painted eggs. And
Do you know why we have Easter a month after you guys, Charlie?
Why?
Because the Easter eggs are cheaper. They're on special.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
See, that's we've worked it out. The Greeks are really smart. We've worked it out. So we get them cheaper.
Yeah, we get them at clearance.
Tight ass.
We get them clearance time.
Tight ass.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and you smash your drones. Anyway, we're going now.
All right.
All right, guys. And actually, I've got to just say a quick hello and thank you to Nick from Savage Winch because he took me out hunting the other day. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate what he did for me.
Beautiful. Good on you, mate. All the best.
Buddy. Take care.
Take it easy.
Say hello to the family.
Bye.
There you go, Melissa Cake. So when is it? When is your Easter?
Next week, I think it is.
Yeah, what day?
Oh, come on, Chuck. Same
Tuesday, Wednesday?
No, it's a whole week. It's no different. Good Friday, Easter Saturday.
So next Easter Thursday, Sunday. Are we going to come in here and smash things on your head?
You can if you want. The drone did it to me all week. Now, Chuck, Gueno, we normally come on a Thursday night to talk about fun and the stuff that we do and the stuff that we do in life and enjoy. Mm. But, life isn't always about fun and happiness. There are some people that are doing it a little bit tough at the moment or do it a little bit tough in life. And that's our next caller. We've got on the line, is it Jess?
Jessica.
Jessica O'Neill. Yep. Jessica, are you there?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I am.
Hi, welcome tonight. Thank you for coming on the show. And we know it's probably a very, very tough time for you at the moment. So, this is your time to try and use what we've got here for you to try and get your message out. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on in your life at the moment?
Thank you for having me, guys. So for those of you that perhaps haven't been made aware of the case of my daughter, Hayley, she's been missing now since 9 a.m. Monday morning. She was last seen in Frankston. Since then, we've had no contact, no information and no lead to follow. I don't really know what to say. Sorry.
That's okay.
Take it easy. Take your time. Jessica, is this the first time she's gone missing?
She has. Previously in the past, she's gone missing for a few hours during the day and stuff, but this is completely out of character.
Mm, okay.
Now, the police obviously are doing their stuff all over the Facebook here. You know, you can see what's going on. So if anything happens in regard to if they see your daughter, what's the best thing for people to do?
The best thing for people to do, I urge anyone if they think they've seen Hayley or have any information as to her whereabouts, I urge them please to get in touch with the police by either calling 000 or Frankston Police Station on 9784 5555. And I also ask for any of your listeners who are Facebook users, we've set up a Facebook page called Find Hayley, where I'm sharing Hayley's photos and updates and things as they come to hand. If you guys can please jump on there and help me try and get her face out there as much as possible in the hope that somebody somewhere will recognise her and bring her home.
Well, it's a very, very, very tough thing that you're going through at the moment. Jessica, does she have a medical condition or anything like that? And we need to speed up this search and try and get her home.
She does. I don't really want to go into the specifics.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fine.
But she does suffer from a medical condition.
Okay.
And I'm worried that she may require medical attention. Okay. Hayley's also high-functioning autistic.
Yeah.
I urge people, if you do see Hayley or you think you've seen Hayley, please do not approach her. Just call the police and give them whatever information you have.
Okay.
Take a note of things like the time, location, what she was wearing, if she was with somebody, a brief description of them, perhaps what they were wearing, anything that you think can help. Yep.
Do you remember what she was wearing when you last saw her so we can get that out there as well?
At the time that she was last seen, she was wearing a dark green hoodie with jeans.
No special markings on the hoodie, no brand logos, nothing.
Just a plain green hoodie.
Okay, well, Jessica, we really, really hope that Hayley comes home quick for you, because you sound like you're doing it really tough. I cannot even begin, and I'm sure the boys are the same, cannot even begin to imagine what you're going through at the moment. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, and we really do hope, listeners, if anybody that's out there that sees Haley, please go to find Haley if you want to see some pictures on the Facebook page there, or remember, call 000 or the Frankston Police Station, and let's bandy together. We often get on Facebook and share things and try and get good things to happen. Well, let's make this a feel good story. Let's try and make this a happy ending.
Thank you so much, guys. And can I just say one more thing?
Sure.
Hayley, I don't know if you're out there, if you can hear this somewhere, or if somebody that knows Hayley can hear this. But please, if you can hear this, please just reach out to somebody, anybody. You're not in trouble. I'm not angry. I just want to know that you're safe and you're okay. I love you and I miss you.
There you go. Okay, Jess. We hope that message gets through.
We'll keep in touch. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks again, Jessica.
Thank you so much, guys.
Bye. Wow, that's really tough. That's really, really tough. And as I say, you cannot.
Every parent.
I cannot begin to imagine what she's going through right now. You know, well, there would be absolutely nothing worse than
hope it all pans out.
Well, we hope that Hayley gets found and she comes home, and we hope next week we can report about some good news. So.
Jeez, I hope so.
There you go.
Mate, I think I need to take a break, actually. I just bit cut up, so we'll come
back shortly.
Yeah, again, those numbers again, guys, are 000 at Frankston Police, 9784 5555.
Gwayne, what's going on at Portland, mate? So the next few months,
happening? I think it was last Tuesday I spoke to Simon on the phone, Simon Rinaldi. They're getting some really nice school-size albacore at the shelf now, fish up to 25 kilos, so they're the perfect size fish this time of year. There's been a few bluefin starting to kick around in that 25 kilo bracket. There was one taken out of Warrnambool I think it was actually on the weekend or early this week. It was 60 kilos. And there's rumours of a few of those big barrels starting to turn up around Port Mac. So it's all about to happen.
Well, that's the one we want. But I think one thing that we should bring up is, most people with the internet and stuff nowadays get online and they can check weather and this and that, but there's a lot of people that will only check the wind. Now, this is an absolute perfect example this week. If you look at the weather forecast for Portland for the weekend, now, most people, being a long weekend, would look at going down there the Friday or the Saturday. Mate, if I can quote, the wind for Saturday is 9 knots, 8 knots, dropping right away to barely anything. And that's where most people will go, wow, here we go, the opportunity's there, let's get out there. They forget to look at the 3.5 metre, 4 metre swell that's following it. So
that's actually, for Portland, that's quite bearable.
Yeah.
Once it starts to get up to that 6 metres, then it's starting to, it's not as much. It's not as pleasurable, put it that way.
But that's bearable for a salty dog like you or for us, mate, you know, because we're out there, we've done it. Like 3 or 4 metre swell with no wind is quite nice. You just aren't rolling up and over the waves.
Yeah.
But if you're not ready for it, 3 metre swell can feel like buildings to some people, you know what I mean?
It also depends of where you're actually fishing. Once you get out sort of past that 120 metre line, which is a fair way out, you're talking nearly 10 Ks. But once you're out past that, these swell really start to space out.
Yeah.
Long, so you don't notice it as
that's
much.
That's an important thing, isn't it? They're not close together.
Yeah.
But as you get shallower, that's where you'll get affected by those sort of
seas. But it can get to you. I mean, let's face it. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, when you're starting out, you just feel crooked.
Absolutely.
Depends on your boat.
Yeah, I guess the moral to the story here, boys, is just make sure that you've got, like, you check all your equipment, make sure that your trailer's ready for the long trip, your boat's ready for the long haul, because it is a long haul. You're not going to go, you know, just outside or past the rock or whatever. You're going to travel, you know, 30 Ks, 40 Ks, 50 Ks to get to where it is that you want to go to. Make sure you've got enough fuel, you know. Make sure you've got enough people on the boat.
One of the biggest mistakes is actually towing down there and just launching straight away.
Yeah.
You've towed for 5 hours. You put a lot of heat through those bearings. And as soon as you put that trailer in the water, the actual metal is expanded from the heat, it's going to shrink and actually sucks the water in.
Yeah, you bet.
You can actually do damage to your bearings and blow your bearings on
trap
the way
for
home.
Trap for the beginners, mate. Absolute trap for the beginners. And God, I don't know how many times I've seen trailers pulled over with the wheels falling off them. And that's the reason why these guys just pull up and bang straight in the water and off they go. So, yeah, but the weather's there. If you've got a good boat, the weather's there for you to go out to Portland and have a crack. And as Guano said, you know, the schoolies and 25s and 30s are starting to appear. So
it's only a matter of time. We're leading up to that full moon, which is the actual critical one for the start of the barrels.
It's next week. Yep. Next week, the full moon. It's now. All I think it's now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's
What about Port Ferry? Have you heard anything from there?
Yeah, there's fish out there. Scotty Cam's been going out that way. Oh, sorry, it's not Scott Cam. He's the carpenter.
Yeah.
Scott Gray, he's been going out that way to the shelf. He's also still getting the odd kingfish inshore with the tuna as well. So the fishery's right along. I know one fish came from Warrnambool, so it won't be long till you hear a few fish also at Apollo Bay, and then it'll just be on right along the coast.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the exciting.
So will you get you on the one, mate?
Yeah, I want to get onto a jumbo this
year.
Should
film it.
Had enough with a drone.
Yeah.
My drone might turn up.
It might be there. How'd you be if you go out to the shelf at Portland and the drone's sitting there?
You know what you know what I would love more than nothing? To turn up here next week and say, boys, you would not believe that drone is sitting on my front lawn.
Well, it could have hit someone in the head. You got to go to court.
Could. Well, I didn't think
I went to... It's a bit of a hype about the drone. So I Wednesday night was a beautiful night.
Yeah.
I thought I'd just go and get some last, you know, silhouette shots
with
the drone.
Yeah.
Shoot it up. And so I went down to a rye pier.
Yeah.
Right. And, of course, there was a lot of fishermen fishing for squid.
Yeah.
And the lady went absolutely crazy at me.
Yeah.
So you don't have that here, is it? Yes, I am. I'm not doing nothing wrong.
Yeah.
They think because maybe there's been, what, one or two cases where someone's got hit in the head.
Mm. It'd be more dangerous with one of those poles down the pier than the drone, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The Greeks or squid poles.
Or the one flying into the actual motor of the plane. I've seen that. But look, these days, these drones, Dean, as you know, well, you don't know, sorry, they're pretty fail-proof. You know, like...
someone forgot to tell my drone that story.
They come back to you. If the battery runs at a certain down to a certain level, it will come home. It's got a come home button. But for that to happen, you have to have the battery actually plugged in, Dean. All these little things, you know. Right. So anyway, now we're going across to Geelong and talking to Mr. John Didge.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, afternoon, I should say.
It's late night.
Hey, Didge, do me a favour, will you? Just look up into the sky. There might be a drone flying across there at some stage.
I'm actually more concerned. I don't think it's the drone's the problem. Charlie's always had a bit of an issue with the crazy old lady syndrome.
Yeah.
So I reckon that's where it comes from. But the old drone thing, it's actually a big feature here in the newspapers a while back in Geelong, because there were guys flying them in a backyard. And they were going into windows because they're trying to have a bit of a perv. And they're smacking them through the windows. They're dropping them on the highway. They're getting run over. There was all sorts of grief going on.
Wow.
And you need to be careful.
I never thought of that.
What?
Looking in the windows.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you check my YouTube?
As if you didn't think of that, Mickleff.
All right, Mr. Jigman, what's going on down Geelong?
Oh, you wouldn't believe what happened to me during the week.
Go on, tell us.
I caught a squid.
You caught a squid.
I caught a squid, and beat this, I caught it on a squid jig.
On a jig?
Yeah, there you go. So
that's a first.
I had a dare. They said to me, I dare you to let us put a squid jig in your boat, and I said, you're on. They put a squid jig in the boat, and this squid come up after my plastic, and I thought, bugger it.
There you go.
I'm a crack at this.
Ah.
Yep, now I know why I don't like it, because it was the easiest form of fishing I've ever seen.
It's technical. You got to jig it. You got to have the right rod, the right balance outfit.
You do with the squid, though?
Oh no, I took some photos of him. I talked to him for a bit too. I sat him down on the front of the boat and I said, "So let me know what's going on, Pepper."
I like your style. Really. I like your
not
style.
Not really, but I tell you what. Something else interesting happened to me during the week, and I know that Charlie, you had a laugh at this one because we were talking about it earlier today. But I actually got myself into trouble with security here in Geelong, and I was thrown out of the anti-terrorism zone.
What?
I was thrown out of the anti-terrorism zone.
What, in Geelong?
Yeah.
In Geelong, we have an anti-terrorism zone.
Okay.
And it's on the map, it's yellow. And it's the zone around Shell Refinery that basically says you're not allowed to go within 200 metres of that zone.
Okay.
And I was a lot closer than 200 metres. And I was getting some great brim, though. And a guy told me to get away. Excuse me, sir, would you kindly leave before I shoot you?
Well, that's amazing.
You didn't happen to leave your hat at home and wear a rag on your head, did you?
Oh, no. Although I haven't stayed for a few days. So at the end of the day, the anti-terrorism zone has been in Geelong for a fair while since the whole September 11 thing. It went in about a year later, and most people pay attention to it, as I normally do, but I thought, I'm sort of a couple hundred metres away.
Mm.
There's no line on the water. It's not like a ribbon that you've got to cross.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned you're catching some bream. That's I'm curious here. What's going on with the bream?
Basically the bream in March, April every year, the bream come into the bay. They school up in massive numbers prior to their spawn.
Where?
All over the place. Every single pylon and channel marker and everything in the bay has just about got bream on it or has had bream on it. They'll start to dissipate now. But we've been getting some cracking bream. Paul managed to pull one out of the water there last week that went 49 centimetres, and we got quite a few in the boat in the mid-40s. But we've had sessions on them where we've got 50, 60 fish in a couple of hours.
What were you using for bait? Oh, no, sorry.
We were using mostly live crabs.
Squid.
We've had
a
smashing amount of success on D-Man grubs in the motor oil gold. That's a plastic.
How do you put the hook on?
Sorry?
Where do you put the hook on the crab?
Straight through the middle.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Yeah, well, I don't really care. The brim's just awesome afterwards.
No, that's amazing. That's amazing.
They come up bitten in half, and all you've got is half a carapace and an eye looking at you.
Wow.
We had a ball on those. We've got them on hard bodies. We've got them on vibes. We've got them on little monster meaty soft plastics, which are a creature bait. Been throwing them around. It really doesn't matter. And the thing with it is that this is quite a strange one, but we were getting these fish that were in sort of like the 40 to 45 centimetre mark, but they're big brim. They're a 40-year-old fish. And in the middle were pinky snapper exactly the same size.
Amazing. There you
go. Just to show you that it's what they say, you know, the same size, they hang together, don't they?
Mm. Yeah, they do. Yeah, these fish hang out together, but it's really interesting. And I suppose for anyone that wants to have a serious crack at it, they're going to have to do it now. If you leave it any more than another week or so, we've even seen a drop in the numbers over the last week.
Do you reckon they're here?
I've actually seen a load coming out of the cove with those whiting the other day. So, yes.
But you can't really fish in there, can you?
It's been going really well.
Can't fish in there.
Can't fish Mount Martha Cove, no, but you can fish.
So like the Dramana Pier, Portsea, you reckon they'll be around there?
I don't say Portsea probably not, but maybe Dramana, yeah.
I might have a squiz.
Depends on the traffic.
Mm.
Yeah,
it depends on the traffic. A lot of the areas we're fishing are basically untapped.
Yeah.
So that's why the fishery, I believe, is so good. But, I mean, we've had an awesome whiting fishery this year, and it's still hot trot at the moment. Getting your bags, easy guns at the moment.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
You're saying about traffic. I mean, I don't think there's going to be too many people fishing for bream at Dramana, though. You know.
No, it's not about fishing for bream at Dramana. It's about the traffic in general.
Right.
It's just the amount of people, the amount of lines in the water, the disturbances, whatever may happen. And I don't know the area, but what we find is that we'll hit these brim, and especially on the top end of the tide. But as soon as the water stops or you get a lot of traffic around, they start to sulk.
Okay. Would they be more active in the night?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Right before dusk. Traditional dawn and dusk times really are a big feeder time.
Yeah.
But around dusk has been excellent lately.
Well, I'll have to give that a look.
For sure.
We'll have to give that. All right. What else, mate?
We've had an interesting one. We managed to get a school of potty mullet. Well, quite a few of them, actually, have come into the bay. And guys following my Facebook page through the Jig Man would have seen some of the stuff. And now we've had some of these potty mullet, which are traditionally New South Wales, up in the town mark. Now, these guys are vegetarian. They do feed a fair bit. But at the moment, we're getting them on surface poppers and on drifting pieces of bread, very small plastic in a bit of water flow down in the northern side of Corio Bay. It's been sensational. They're just blinders. They go like a Northern Territory milkfish. Absolutely hammer.
Fantastic.
So we're having a blinder on those. We're really enjoying it.
What sort of size are they getting up to, Didge?
Well, 7 pounds sort of comes in at about 80 centimetres.
Jeez.
Okay, yeah, so this is more like you've you're looking more like you guys that fish New South Wales would have seen them plenty of times jumping out of the water. So they're big and fat. They're as stupid as they come.
Yep.
And they're basically the stuff, the forked tail, like to the tip of the tail, 80 centimetres, that's a thumping mullet. That's more like a dewey than a mullet. And this is what they're like. But you can't just go and catch them. I mean, we're getting a half-hour window very, very early morning when the conditions are dead calm.
Mm. That's amazing.
So you sort of wake up, jump in the car, shoot down there, get a dozen cast in, and it's all over, Red Rover.
Yeah. Yeah, Twofold Bay, very thick there. I can remember seeing stacks and stacks of them when we used to dive, and also the commercial guys when they were netting him on the beach.
Yep.
Early morning.
A lot of them, a lot of people would remember them if they fished places like Mallacoota and stuff.
Yeah.
They're those fish that jump out of the water that make you think everything's on the boil.
Yeah, big splash too.
Yep.
Cool, Matt. Cool.
Amazing. There you go.
All right, mate. Well, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Yeah, no worries. Just one quick one too. There's a thermal point appeared in Corio Bay at the moment. So we've got inner harbour and outer harbour, two rapid water temperature changes of nearly 3 degrees.
Yep.
So currently sitting at about 4.5 metres down. There is a thermal line, as it is in fresh water, very, very distinctive layer. So if you see that line, you need to get away from it.
Yeah, you were telling me about that today. So that's about 15 metres down, for example?
It's about 4.5 metres down, 15 foot. So 15 basically, foot. When you see that thermal line appear at that 15-foot mark on your sounder, it's a distinct line. It's like someone's drawn a pencil line straight across there. What you've got is you've got a combination of two water temperatures. You'll also know the area because the clearer water is going to be the best stuff. The thermal cline will appear when the surface water is opaque and the water on the bottom is crystal clear. So you need to sort of stay away from that. It's mostly outer harbour on the quarries or the Point Wilson side of the boat. So stick to the spoil grounds near Clifton Springs or inner harbour.
Fantastic.
Awesome advice as usual, buddy. Thanks for that. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
No worries. Talk
good
to
on you, mate.
Have a good one.
See you, mate. Bye.
Well, those brim, that'd be interesting, wouldn't they?
Mm, certainly.
I haven't caught that many brim.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot in the water.
I have in Sydney. I did a lot of brim and tailor in Sydney. Absolute stacks of them, you know. Like I said, right near the pylons and any form of structure.
Yeah, they love structure.
Yeah, it was always good fun. Now, boys, Anzac Day.
Yep.
What's the go?
Helen's going to the service in Greensboro.
Service, yep.
Because she's obviously the principal there, so she takes her kids there.
Yep.
I'll be staying in bed, I suppose.
Yeah.
Your own
service.
Yeah. Might just go looking for a drone in the afternoon.
I'm never going to live that drone down,
back,
am I?
Kick back a little bit, but no, it's just it's an amazing day, isn't it? I love watching it on telly and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. What about you, Gwano?
Oh, I'll see if the kids want to go down.
Yeah.
I think the weather's looking a little bit on the average side, but you should do at least once or twice in your lifetime. So. Yeah.
I think so, mate. I think so. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on at the moment. The hang on a second. Here we go. The Cerberus Navy liaising with the Cerberus Navy and servicing in Balnarring. So there is a function going on at the Heritage Tavern and Restaurant in Balnarring. There is a special gunfire breakfast at 9 till 11:30 in the morning. They will be serving breakfast there, egg and bacon rolls and sausage and eggs, etc. It's quite cheap. It's $10. It's open from 9 o'clock. And that is an Anzac Day service, Monday the 25th of April. Anzac Day, Heritage Tavern and Restaurant in Balnarring. Sounds like it'll be a good event.
There's quite a lot of movies out too at the moment, particularly last year, the 100th anniversary.
Yep.
A lot of movies put together brilliantly.
Do you know what I did here, which is quite upsetting, that the services overseas... in Gallipoli and stuff, they are expecting the smallest numbers they've ever had due to terrorism.
That's
pretty sad, isn't it?
It is, mate.
It's pretty sad when you're frightened to travel because of terrorism, you know. So
what's the answer?
They're all, I don't know, mate. I can't answer that question, to be quite honest. You know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So But I will be chilling out myself on, on the Monday, so just taking it easy because I've had a pretty hectic week. So
yeah, you got to get ready for your smashing of your head on your egg on your head.
Yeah, I know. There's another big week coming up.
I know. So that goes on for a few days, doesn't it?
No, it's Easter Sunday.
So it's just one day. What's that thing where you celebrate for a week?
No, that's we fast for. Oh,
you fast?
No, I'll slow down.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
You're not going to fast.
Yeah, well, slow down.
Get out.
Mate, I've got to tell you, oh, no, I'm going to keep to myself. You'll just see.
No, tell me.
Not telling you.
You're going to go out and buy a better drone than me?
No.
Yeah, you will.
I'm happy with the drone I've got.
Let's go over some tides here, guys. If we are fishing during the week, we've got a big full moon coming up.
Yep.
Bigger than normal.
Yep.
It's huge.
Yep.
Nice and low. I don't know. It just is. It's
closer to the planet.
Yeah, so I love this time of year. We get a lot of gummies and tuna, as Quayne says, big Quayne tuna knows, and all that.
Quayne knows that it's closer
to
the planet.
Excuse me, I'm talking. Now, 4:22 a.m. on Monday,
yep.
Anzac Day, you got to go to the service, I suppose, but you can still, after that, you can have a fish. On the Tuesday, we're looking at 4:53 a.m., and then on Wednesday, 5:26.
So there your hit windows, are they?
They're my windows, mate, for the week.
Southern Port Phillip.
We'll see how we go.
Very good.
Okay. As I said,
it's a bit different for Western Port. But
What's the difference?
There's an hour and a half in the tide change.
And that much?
Yeah.
Okay, because obviously you haven't got a heads like you have here.
So what's your plan, Guano, for the weekend? For fishing?
So we're going to try and head out on Saturday morning.
Well, we will head out. Yep.
Saturday morning's not all that good, mate.
Yeah, it'll be right.
You reckon?
That's good because no one will be there.
Yep. That's true, I suppose. So what are you going for there?
We'll have a crack on the whiting.
Whiting, yep.
Well, that's easy.
Saturday afternoon, you'd know Timbo. Timbo's wedding. So heading down to Lee and Gather for a wedding. And then I've got a guide on Sunday morning as well.
So where do you go for the whiting, Western Port?
No, I'm actually fishing in Port Phillip.
Oh, come on, my neck of the woods.
Been fishing in Port Phillip for the last four weeks now.
I thought Western Port was supposed to be better than Port.
Not much coming out of Western Port. Hey? Port was.
Mix it up a bit.
Okay.
So what are you guiding for on Sunday?
Whiting again. Okay. It's actually a pretty good mate of mine. He's asked me to
get out on the boat with him.
Yep.
Can't go wrong. I mean, it's just been amazing.
And what bait for the whiting, Guano?
I found them to be going really well on soft baits. Yep. Generally, this time of year, I prefer to use fresh squid, but the bite has been a lot better if we use soft baits. So mussel, peeled prawn, or pippy would be my choice.
Yep.
We're burling quite heavy.
Yep.
Boat traffic's starting to get to a bit more serious in the area we've been, so I'll probably start looking for a new area.
Yep.
With the mussel, what I used to do, and I'm going to start doing it, if I get time, is you go to the market, get your mussels. Although the mussels are a little bit dearer than $2.50 at the moment. That's what I used to get them for when I was working full time in the city.
Yep.
And then I'd chuck them and put them in the containers of rice, those things, and put them in the freezer and just pull them out. And so much easier, Dean.
Yep.
So much easier, Keep the shells for burley.
Yep.
But you're right about the burley. I noticed the other day I went out with Con, he was actually using crushed sardine.
Yep.
Like really crushed up sardine. So it worked well. It worked really well.
I don't think it actually feeds the whiting, but what the burley does is actually get all those filter feeders that gets the worms and little crustaceans heads out of the ground.
Yep.
And that brings the whiting and holds them in that area.
We talked about this last week too, Dino, the fact that during the tide it was different fish.
Yep.
There'd be a stage of the tide you get your whiting. And then it's just like a switch, they go off, and then you get pufferfish.
Pufferfish
have been unbelievable.
Yeah, there's plague proportions.
Fat ones too.
Yeah.
So, you go through those, and then you get pike or snook, right? And then you get banjos, and then you get Port Jacksons, and then the whiting again.
Yeah. Mm.
Crazy stuff.
I only found we got puffers, and we got the babunya, the red mullet.
Beautiful red mullet.
Good eating, man. They're really good eating.
We just moved, Charlie. As soon as the fish shut down, we just moved.
Well, we'll have a more of a report what we got up to next week, next Thursday. Also, hopefully, we'll find Hayley and have some information on it.
Fantastic.
It'd be really good.
Yep.
Until then, I'm Charlie.
I'm Dean.
And I'm Gwyn.
And we're off for another week.
Thank you.